Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Football Friday, Wendy's Big Show on the Fan. That's Gary Ellerson for Badger and Packer running back homecoming this weekend. We'll get into all of this. But homecoming, Gary, so like, is this one where you get together with a bunch of your old boys and a good reason to come back?
Well, matter of fact, and I try to get these guys on air today, but we had about, when I was at Madison, we had about, I don't know, 15, 20 guys.
Okay.
All from the state of Georgia, from Atlanta, Albany, Macon. Areas where we all came from. So most of those guys are in town today. So they came in last night. I didn't see them last night because Brock had his football game out in Catamarain. Got wet out doing that.
But this morning
I got up and they stand over at my one buddy's house, Eric Signor's house. And so my Georgia contingent buddies is Nate Odoms, Everett. Nate Odoms played for the Buffalo Bills defensive back when they lost those four Super Bowls. So we give them crap about that all the time every time we see them.
That's brutal. Come on,
cuz.
Thought you guys were friends.
You got nothing, cuz. and then my homeboy, Mike Reed, who's from my hometown, Albany, Georgia, played for the Atlanta Falcons, played inside linebacker for the Badgers.
Even that name sounds familiar. Yeah,
and then Reggie Tompkins, he was a black quarterback out of Atlanta, and he was recruited to Wisconsin. They told him he was going to play quarterback. He got to Wisconsin, and then they moved him to DB like the very first day.
Like the first day.
Yeah, but, you know, he was an athlete.
No way. Coaches lie to get you on campus? No way.
He was an athlete. and so we all broke bread this morning, which was great.
Nice.
It was great to see the guys. And, you know, and they go, dude, it's 78 at home.
Not here.
And these jokers freeze. You guys been here before, weather's changed, but you know, you're in your 50s now, and you know.
It's going to be real cold this weekend if you think this
is
cold.
Right,
you
right.
I could have
slapped
anything.
You in the face a little bit earlier.
Right?
You wake up tomorrow morning.
They left Atlanta with 78.
You wake up tomorrow morning, it's going to be 32.
That's
so
what I told us. You
have
better
fun.
Be ready.
So then strong winds.
Yeah.
So everybody going down to Madison tonight or tomorrow morning?
So
getting ready?
No, those cats, so they came in last night. They all flew in last night. A half of them left this morning already at 8 o'clock.
Oh, man.
They left, and then there's another half that I saw then later today. They came in, so they're going to leave. I think they left probably about a couple hours ago.
Okay. So then you're going down there tonight?
No.
Oh, you're not going to get into any of the debauchery tonight?
No.
Proud of you. That's a decision I wish I'd be able
right?
to make.
Well, see, because, you know, for them, right, they come every once, three, four,
yeah,
five
for sure.
years, right? So go ahead.
Get back. Enjoy.
I got to work.
Go to a couple of spots,
right.
A couple of the famous ones.
And they wide open right now. I mean, open.
Oh, we can go anywhere now.
Well, no, I mean, guess what breakfast was?
Oh, yeah. Oh, they're off and
Bloody
running.
Bloody Marys.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, they watch
that's
me.
An anytime
drink. I got
fire
over
you
there.
Right
I don't
away.
Know. I got over there real early, like 8, 9 o'clock this morning. The first crew had already gone.
Coffee and Bailey's at breakfast, not even messing around.
Man, they already. Could you make that a double vodka, please, on that Bloody Mary? Because they wide open right now. I go, who's driving you guys
so
to
proud.
Madison? Right?
So
I,
happy.
Can we be responsible here and say who's driving to Madison? Somebody, we got to designate.
Well, somebody's got to be the dad. Glad
come
it could
on.
Be GA.
Well, I always come in.
You're like, maybe
on,
I will,
yeah,
maybe I won't.
Gotta be designated. I'm joking. And see, for them, right, it's vacation, right?
Absolutely vacation. It is, yeah. But you're the host. You're like, I got to work. I'll meet you down
close.
There.
I got to
okay.
work. I got a show to do. Packers playing. We got Bledsoe, he hurt.
We got to get into
Bucks
all of it
gone.
Today.
I know it's homecoming. Packers, big game on Monday night. I got to be here for the boys.
Well, we're proud of you. And thank you.
Hey.
We appreciate that. And I know how difficult that is. Also, a homecoming for your Carroll Pioneers. So we'll get ourselves back in there.
You got homecoming this week, too?
Hopefully getting into the win column once again and get ourselves back in there.
What's the Carroll Pioneers record so far this year?
So far this year, 1-3.
Whew.
But a couple of hard fought games though. Big comeback winning game one, and haven't been able to get back on track. We'll get this thing back on track because it's more fun. Wendy's Big Show, 414-799-1250, live at 1057FMTheFan.com. Wendy's Fresh, Never Frozen Inbox. You can tweet at us at 1057FMTheFan. I'm Bill, at Bill Schmidt Radio, at Gary Ellerson, and at Sparky Radio. You can join us here right now. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, can you put your finger? We've been trying to do it since the game in Dallas and figuring out exactly why, and I know one offensive player has a career day, but with what they've gone through and how the season started with the adversity going in with a new coach and everything that's gone on for the Green Bay Packers, can you put your finger on just one reason why you believe they are 4-1 atop the NFC North as they get ready for Monday night against the Detroit Lions?
Well, look, I for me, it's just about the defensive turnovers. That's where I'm at. You know, I really think that if you don't get some of these big turnovers by this defense and these teams are allowed to, you know, push this ball into the end zone and get points, obviously you could be looking at a different outcome. I mean, they could be 2-3 right now through five games or something like that. It's not like they've been blowing people out and running away where those turnovers weren't big deals. They've been in pretty big-time contested contests at this point where they've been close at the end of the game, and those turnovers have been huge, whether they happen early in the game or late in the game to save a game. They've been huge. So for me, I think it's just the bend but don't break defense, if you want to call it that. But getting those turnovers have been huge for the Packers.
They have been about the ball, and that's been one thing that Matt LaFleur has preached and we've heard after games. But Gary, is there one reason why you can pinpoint exactly why the Packers are at 4-1 right now? And 414-799-1250 if you want to join it as well.
I think it's, to me, it starts in Aaron Rodgers. I think this, when we first saw this happening, new coach, I mean, let's just call it what it is. I mean, we thought there was something between, and we don't need to rehash the whole thing, but we thought there was something between Rodgers and McCarthy, right? Mm-hmm. So the whole thing was, when you hire the new coach, is this new coach is going to get down with Rodgers? I mean, how is that relationship is going to be? You know, because you know that's what's – it just starts and ends with 12 for me. And just so far, it's just been absolutely incredible. I mean, and even 12 came on and said, hey, listen, I just want to win football games. Now, whether he said it and you don't believe him or whatever, he said it. To me, it starts and ends with 12. What's the question?
Can you pinpoint, can you put your finger on one reason why the Packers are at 4-1
right now? The one reason why they're at 4-1 right now, because I do believe Rodgers has bought in. We asked David Bakhtiari, did you ever thought you win a game with Aaron Rodgers not throwing any touchdowns at all? And he's surprised. And in order for them to – so Rodgers right now, folks don't know, he's got to sacrifice part of his game to fit what they're doing. And listen, kudos to him. I mean, that's a great – and I just didn't think we'd see that. Now, I know this is not going to play well on the Bart and Winkler show in the morning that I'm actually giving
Chuck and Aaron, Winkler.
No, yes. It ain't Chuck, because if it was Chuck and Winkler, he'd have a backbone and say
– oh, boy.
What are you talking about,
if
Ellie?
He'd have a backbone and come to my defense most of the time. He kind of just let Bart goes off and do his own damn thing. But listen – When the Barton and Winkler show come on in the morning, they won't talk about that we're actually giving Aaron Rodgers credit for actually modifying his game to fit Matt LaFleur, because I think that's what it is. And sometimes you have to. Sometimes you have to modify your game for the greater cause or for the greater good. If you're in sports, at some point in time, it's going to happen to you. At some point in time where you get a little bit older, you get a new coach, or there's different ways of doing things. I mean, look, Chuck has modified his game to be on his radio station,
mm-hmm.
right?
Sure.
I mean, I don't know how he deals with Bart every day. I mean, so he had to modify his game to be with a guy like that. So all am I throwing smoke out here?
No. Okay, I mean, good. Yeah, you guys had to adapt to me. It was a totally different thing.
See, there's another one.
When Rami leaves.
There's another one. Oh, Steve giving me the side. I don't know if he's actually giving me the side.
Go right ahead. Yeah. I'm like, go ahead.
Okay, like he's looking at me kind of viciously.
I'll let you
but anyway, yeah, we right.
Got the khakis on? Oh, yeah. No, you can keep firing. He doesn't have the khakis on.
Corporate khakis on the deck. Okay, good. Because we did.
Casual Friday.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So we did. We had to modify Steve mm-hmm. and I, and we're still getting used to it.
100%.
We're still getting used to it. And I think that's why we are with the Green Bay Packers. To me, I think that answer to that question to me, would be Aaron Rodgers. Just unbelievable.
Can you put your finger on one reason why you believe the Green Bay Packers are at this 4-1 start and off to the 4-1 start? And there's one other reason that I think Steve Sparky Pfeiffer is holding out, and we'll bring it back here on the other side of the break. Also with you at 414-799-1250, you can put a grand in your hand with a roster bonus of $1,000. Your chance coming up at during the 2, 3, and 4 o'clock hours. Got to stay tuned whenever we fire that off. You text it to 72881. It's the Wendy's Big Show here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Gary Ellerson for Badger and Packer running back. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, and Steve Sparky Pfeiffer at Sparky Radio, and he is at the Mecca Monday night.
Mecca Sports Bar and Grill coming up on Monday night. The place to be for our football experience party, like we always have. Green Bay and Detroit trivia prizes throughout the game, courtesy of Miller Lite. Also have our big grand prizes at the end of the game, courtesy of Waukesha Sports Cards. And at halftime, too, we have a tic-tac-toe. From our tic-tac-toe cards we provide to everybody before halftime. This week, a giant picture. I call it a giant picture. It's much bigger than a picture we've ever given out before. Signed by Kenny Clark of the Packers. And we have a Mason Crosby signed jersey as well to give out coming up Monday night at the Mecca Sports Bar and Grill. Also, don't forget, you can reserve your seats ahead of time. Got the luxury boxes up on the third level. Reserve those. Can fit 6 to 8 people in. Some of those have their own private TV. Still can see the huge wall of TVs at the Mecca. The centerpiece of it, a 42-foot wide, ultra-high-definition screen TV surrounded by 9 other TVs. The mezzanine level seating with a clear view of that wall also can be reserved, too. And then, of course, the whole first floor area also can be reserved. Call ahead, reserve ahead, go to the Mecca, MKE.com, the Mecca, MKE.com. Food, elevated bar food, a menu that's been created by a team of talented chefs that elevate sports bar fare to a whole new level. Check them out now, located in the Fear District, across from the Fiserv Forum. Obviously got those haunted houses and stuff tonight going as well at the Fear District. You want to check that out, go to the Mecca, MKE.com, and reserve your seats today for Monday.
Have you seen the video of Dante DiVincenzo and all them going through the Fear District?
Yeah, it's great.
That's the team kind of bonding you need. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the reason why the Packers are at 4-1. What's your reasoning why? 414-799-1250. Sham Sharania broke the Eric Bledsoe news. He joins us at 2:35. Ben Fennell stops by at 2:48 talking Packers football. And use the hashtag Big Fantasy. Tom Kestner coming up at 4 o'clock with your answers. The godfather of fantasy football. It's the Wendy's Big Show, off and running on a Football Friday on The Fan.
You know, 4-1, that's the biggest thing. Guys are playing well, and we're winning football games. They kind of go hand in hand, and it's a collective thing too, especially with us five guys up front. When we're all playing at a high level and we're playing together, and there's a cohesiveness to it, guys tend to play better when everyone's on the same page.
That's Brian Bulaga, right tackle, your Green Bay Packers, and he's maybe one of the reasons why this Green Bay Packers unit's at 4-1 through the first 5 weeks of the year, getting ready for the Detroit Lions on Monday night. This is the Wendy's Big Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan, and 105.7FMTheFan.com. Wendy's fresh, never frozen inbox is open live at 105.7FMTheFan.com's. Sham Sharania joins us from Stadium here coming up in 2:35. He broke the Eric Bledsoe news. He'll be out for about 2 to 4 weeks with a fracture in his lower rib. 414-799-1250. Is there any one reason why the Green Bay Packers are at 4-1? Gary, there's been some belief that a lot of it comes with the dedication to the ground game, and you've been preaching this as the former running back at Wisconsin, obviously with the Packers, and getting a commitment to the ground, something that we wished we would have seen more for Eddie Lacy, where you can really get a lather going, a totally different back, a totally different weapon. But Aaron Jones weak and the ability to open up the holes, the gaping holes that he had in Dallas. The offensive line has played a lot better with one rookie starter in there than I think some of us would have been even able to imagine as well starting out the year.
No, you're exactly right. I think the offensive line has played a key role into it. I mean, hey, if you even just look at last week, though, Billy, right? I mean, the last game that they played, Lindsey goes out of the game.
Mm-hmm. Replaced by Lucas Patrick, yep.
Right. They rushed for those yards with a backup guy who really even couldn't snap it, long snap it to the doggone quarterback.
That's a great point.
I mean, no, you're right. I think the offensive line has had a good play in this. I mean, they've been able to run the football very well. Now, Bulaga has kind of been banged up, you know, patched together. But he's played well. I mean, Bakhtiari is played well. I mean, he's known more as a pass blocker than as a run blocker. But I think those guys have been able to do the job. I mean, your left guard is rookie.
Right. And the right guard, you hadn't played here at all in Billy Turner and was a new addition, Sparky, that you didn't necessarily know exactly what you were going to get out of when you looked at the additions they made to this offensive line. But they did have a little bit more of a dedication, spending some capital with money and a high draft pick on trying to improve that unit just this year.
Yeah, I don't know everybody else, but I didn't think Jenkins was going to play right away. I didn't think he'd get in there. Now, it was because of injury of why he got in there. But as you saw this last week, he can really run block. I mean, he did one heck of a job with that interior zone scheme against the Dallas Cowboys. Now, the one thing we don't know is how much will they use that again going through the rest of the year. That's one big question mark at this point for the Green Bay Packers. The Turner thing that you just brought up, I wasn't a fan of that. I thought they overpaid him. I thought he was just a rotational guy that can come in and be a really good backup. I wasn't convinced that he could be a starter. He's been kind of up and down to this point, so I guess that's still a question mark going forward. But the other thing about all this is Brian Bulaga has played out of his mind. He is not allowed a sack, I don't believe, all year long. And Brian Bulaga is a guy that we talked about time and time and time again about the fact that maybe they should move on from Brian Bulaga. Brian Bulaga is probably done after the upcoming season and he's out of here. Now I think there's a lot of people saying, I don't think Brian Bulaga can be out of here after the upcoming season if he can show that he can stay healthy, and that has been a problem throughout his career. Bakhtiari's been stomping for Bulaga to get paid. Rodgers, I think, in his own way, has been stomping for Bulaga to get paid too, saying they need Brian Bulaga. And then you look at the depth of the tackle position. Who are you buying at the backup tackle position on this Packers offensive line? And that's the other thing you have to consider if you are going to move on from Bulaga. And if he plays like this year, he's going to be a Pro Bowl or maybe an All-Pro if he doesn't give up a sack all year.
And we're always looking for you to get paid, and that's why it's your chance right now, one of three today, for a $1,000 roster bonus on the Fan. All you need is this keyword that we give you right now. It's PRIZE, P-R-I-Z-E, PRIZE, P-R-I-Z-E. Text PRIZE to 72881. Message and data rates do apply. Make sure to listen through the 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock hours for your next chances, the final chances of the week, to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. But don't worry, we love you that much. It's coming back at you next week, starting up at 9 with the Chuck and Winkler program. Leaping into the studio now, Leroy Butler, Leap 36, future Hall of Famer with Milwaukee's preferred personal injury law firm, Carlson, Blau & Clemens. Get the injury settlement that you deserve. Call 414-342-1000. One day I'm going to get that number right, and I'm not going to stumble over it. Leroy Butler, can you put one finger on why the Packers are at 4-1 right now? Because we've had a couple of differences, and the mentions have a couple of very, very strange ones as well. But I want to get your take first.
Matt LaFleur, him, all day for me.
Him too.
Yeah, just I don't see anything past him. Because out of all of these coaches who were available, I didn't see this one. And I don't think anybody did. I just didn't see it. If it was written, I missed it. I don't see everything. I got a life sometimes. So to come in and stabilize, if you've heard this show, you'll hear me kind of repeat some of this, so I apologize. But it was bad last year. It was very bad. So you needed a coach. You could have said, I want a coach with experience who can understand what's going on, who can take the Aaron Rodgers deal and smooth that out and maybe try to bring in some other pieces. Or you can just say, listen, I want a young guy. You know, I'm going to take a chance here. And that's, I think, most people that get a job that sit back and say, I just need somebody to give me a chance. Just give me a chance, you know. You can go status quo sometime and, you know, get a retread. A guy who's probably been fired 15 times. These guys keep jobs.
Like a Jeff Fisher?
I mean, right. Or, you know, like, you know, just a bunch of guys just hanging around the league.
Oh, Rex Ryan wants the Washington job.
Yeah, I mean, and he'll probably get a job. You know, he probably will. But sometimes you got to just – the Sean McVay types, you know, even Kyle Shanahan, just, hey, man, listen, just – Let me t- test drive this car, just like we do over at Uptown Motors.
There you go.
You got to drive it. Good, you know fit. What I'm saying? So my thing, whenever I see any kind of bad, good, indifferent, however you feel, I always bring it back to the coach. Because had this thing been 0-5, did you hire the right guy?
Zach tweets at the fan, the guy with the set to cut ties with longtime vets, Clay, Haha, Mike Daniels, and Jordy, signed guys to fill holes that the team needs that fit the system. The Turners, the Smiths, Amos have all been huge this year thanks to Mike Pettine as well. I like him, but I think this team is still 4-1 with or without LaFleur. So he's giving the praise to the man he attaches a picture to, of Brian Gutekunst.
I'm okay with that.
Because a lot of this is going to go to Gutekunst, right?
For sure.
I'm okay with that.
He's the one that made the moves.
I'm okay with all that. But here's what I won't do, though. When I pick my person, I won't discredit somebody else's. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what we try to do sometimes, to make our narrative feel like it's right.
We'll
tear down something else.
Narrative. I like that, Leroy. So, a lot of people do that.
Right. So I think it's Matt LaFleur. So say this young man says it's Gutekunst. I'm not going to say, Gutekunst. No, he's right too. This is your opinion. I want to hear everybody's opinion. I think that makes a healthy discussion. So Gutekunst, trust me, gets. I have no problem with somebody saying that. None at all.
It also feels like there's more of a respect between opinions in the building.
Oh, yes.
Bingo.
And that's another part of this that I think is really true, Gary, when you're talking about finally the breaking down of silos. You are reaching that point where now it feels like everybody is being heard. Phil is in Chicago. He's being heard at 799-1250. Hey, Phil.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Phil?
Hey, Phil. What's going
on? Sorry for waking you, my brother.
Goodness gracious. Phil? Wake up.
What's up, Phil? I'm actually in the crib. I wasn't asleep. I was just playing Madden. Just playing the game. You're probably getting dogged.
I got to explain it. When he says he's in a crib for Steve, he's in a house, and he's not actually in a crib.
Yeah, his place. Yes.
Well, I just want to make sure people know the context.
Phil, you're playing Madden? Probably getting dubbed.
Oh, he's cheating. Right now.
You getting dubbed or what?
What's the score? Cheating. He know all the cheat codes.
I can beat him with the cheat codes.
You can't really cheat in Madden, though. I mean,
unless you had
Leroy Butler on your team.
That's true.
As your running back.
There's
some cheat codes right there.
You're going to need some cheat codes.
That was well said. What do you got on this, Phil?
What you got, Phil?
Oh, man, it's so hard to just choose just one thing, guys.
That's true. That's why it's a good question.
You can't. But I would, if somebody pointed a gun in my head, I would say the way our defense has been creating turnovers, and I guess you would lay that at the feet of Gutekunst. But the fact that Rodgers has been playing, you know, into the hands of being a game manager and him being able to humble himself, I appreciate that. But okay, I'm going to choose the defense creating turnovers. By the way, we didn't talk about how great Tremont played on Sunday too. Give kudos to that man, man, because he was playing pretty well.
He's played really, really well all year. Thanks for the call, Phil. And Gary, we talked about it right away coming off the Chicago game. You saw the amount that Tremont Williams was playing, the volume that they've had to count on him for. He has played very well, and the veterans that they've needed to play well have performed all season long.
Go ahead, Gary.
No, they have. I agree.
Hey, there was a great piece in the Journal Sentinel just the other day. I think it was yesterday, talking about the depth in that secondary, about how a Sullivan can come in and fill his role and create a turnover. Redmond can come in and should have had a turnover had it not been a Za'Darius Smith penalty, and possibly create a turnover. And now, instead of, well, we have to play this guy because everybody is hurt, now they're in a situation to where they can look at it and go, this guy is a better matchup against this guy in the slot, so you're going to go out there and play. Everybody else has to check their egos at the door and buy in that the guy they're putting out there, even though on the depth chart he may not be in front of the other guy he's playing in front of, that guy's going to do their job. And that really speaks volumes to the depth that has been built by the general manager, Leroy.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing about it. Because I really like Redmond, and I didn't know a lot about some of these other guys. And you don't expect for these guys to play. You think you're going to have, you know, Savage the whole year. You think you're going to have Amos the whole year. You don't expect for these. These are special teamers. But in years past, guys, and you know
those
this.
Those guys hurt you.
What? You didn't want to see them out there. If somebody got hurt, you're like, oh, man, this guy goes out. But now you didn't necessarily know it that 39, 25 were playing prominent roles. Now, you get a chance to see the whole entire group to say later in the year, these guys have experience. That's Gutekunst. Those is a type of a guy he wanted with Pettit. So the people who say Gutekunst, it's well received from me because there's a certain type of guy. Steve and Gary, how many times we banged our head on the walls when Don Capers didn't get the guy he wanted? So here's Nick Perry. Go make him a defensive man or a line. Would you just make it work? Mm-hmm. Okay, but I didn't want Daytime Jones to be a – I wanted his hand in the ground. Nope. Stand him up and drop him. You make it work
and
now.
He actually did okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, but it shouldn't be an experiment.
It shouldn't be.
I want a linebacker agency. And he went out and got two, the Smith brothers, that can play – linebacker, that helps. So Gutekunst get some kudos.
Felt like it was always an experiment, right? Mike Neal was a guy that
but
played
it was
with
working
his hand
for something. It was like a scientist.
And,
mm-hmm.
and so was Julius Peppers.
Yep.
Mike was
Julius Peppers had played hand in the ground his whole career.
Yep.
Comes and here, we dominated. Stand him up. Yeah, and dominated
was,
and stand with
him it. Up. What's the guy that alleged juice is? Mike Neal?
That was Mike Neal.
He, I mean, what
he
was
never
he?
Got another job after that.
Never.
He probably
you know who also
one.
Doesn't have one? Nick Perry. Kevin's in Kansas City. He's up
he
on the
He could have had one. He just didn't want to.
Hey, Kevin.
Money. Hey, what's up, boys?
You.
What's going on, my brother?
Hey, man. Here's the deal. You know, a fish rots from the head down. And so I got to go with the fact that they brought the Smith brothers in and the coaching. And the back and forth between 12 and the coach on the sidelines. You know, I've listened to you guys talk about it, and I've watched it on TV myself, but I think that's what Rodgers needed. It's someone that can challenge him, and I think Gary made a really brilliant point this week on the Green and Gold postgame show where he said not having Devontae Adams was going to make Aaron Rodgers actually play quarterback in brief defenses.
Yep, that's a great point.
Which I think for, you know, with you know, with the last couple of years, I think they've been playing a lot of scramble drills. You know, we got to just go out there and see what happens. You know, let 12 throw the ball around. But I think bringing in the coach, I have to give the GM and the coaching staff the credit for the great start this year because everything is about leadership.
Correct.
I think that's where they have the advantage right now. So hopefully these guys can win another Super Bowl. It'd be nice to see number 12 get two rings.
Okay. So. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. I'm going to clean this tweet up and just replace a word with another word. But other than that, the rest of the tweet is everything that this person said, and I want to see if other people agree with this said person. Zach is his name. The guy with the guts to cut ties with longtime vets Clay. Ha ha, Mike D, all that. Did you read this tweet already? Are you okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. When he says that he doesn't give any credit, sorry, that's my fault.
No, it's good.
When he doesn't give any credit to LaFleur, and then that guy does give credit to LaFleur at the end of the day, do you think there are more people with him, or do you think there are more people with the guy on the tweet that Billy read earlier saying, I'm not really giving LaFleur a lot of the credit? If it's because he has the players, meaning, look, if McCarthy was here, he'd be doing just as good with Dom Capers if he had Za'Darius, if he had Preston, if he had all those guys.
That's a good point. I mean,
would Capers be able to have this defense playing this way with all those guys?
I think we often thought that if Dom had his own guys to play his own position and not do what we just talked about, create spots for them, I think it would have been much better than what it was. I don't know if it – listen, the Green Bay Packers, to me, needed a change at this time. Most certainly, I think if you can get a guy that can play your spot, I think you'd be better. But they just need an overhaul, change of attitude at this particular time.
We talked about leadership yesterday with Za'Darius Smith and that big, nice piece.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about Mike Pettine in the past and Aaron Rodgers. Boy, Mike Pettine commands the locker room and all of that. Dom Capers probably didn't have that same thing aura about him. like a Pettine necessarily did, and he didn't have the leader in the locker room like Pettine has in Za'Darius Smith.
Wasn't able to make up for it.
But see, Dom Capers is like Charles Woodson. Legendary.
Brings it with the name cred instead of exactly what he's doing.
You think he's got that type of swag with players in the locker room?
Yeah.
Really?
They know who Dom Capers is.
Everybody knows who Sham Sharania is. He writes for Stadium and The Athletic.
Everybody
joins us
do
next.
It differently.
And he reported and broke the news earlier today that Eric Bledsoe has a fracture in his rib. He gives us the latest next. Wendy's Big Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM, and the freeradio.com app. Joining us now, I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, D. Sparky Pfeiffer, former Green Bay Packers, Leroy Butler, and Gary Ellerson, insider from Stadium and the Athletic. Shams Charania joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Shams, appreciate it. You had the news earlier today about Eric Bledsoe missing some time with a fracture in his rib cage.
Yeah, guys, so, you know, he'll be out at least 2 to 3 weeks, and this is all in all, good news for Eric Bledsoe and the Bucs. They both feared that he might have a strained oblique, and that would be potentially a month plus, but it ends up being a fracture in his rib area, and he's going to miss, like I said, 2 to 3 weeks. So the Bucs will be without their starting point guard going into the season. That probably thrusts George Hill into that starting point guard role going into the regular season. And at that point, you want to make sure that Eric Bledsoe, when he does come back, that he's not at any type of a risk for re-injury. And this team does have the luxury of making sure that it's a marathon and not a sprint, not a race, given the success that they had last season. But there's no question that overall, not being without Eric Bledsoe for any type of long period of time would have been a devastating blow.
When you talk about Eric Bledsoe, he got that contract extension, and there were some Bucs fans that thought maybe they paid him too much money, and then the postseason came, and then Bucs fans really started getting nervous about the contract extension that they gave Bledsoe. What were your thoughts on the money they paid him and whether or not, you know, he's going to provide to be worth it?
Yeah, I thought in the grand scheme of things, I thought it was a great deal for both sides. Obviously, that last season gives the Bucs so much flexibility, that last year being a partial. I think only $3 million guaranteed out of 19. So that gives the Bucs a lot of flexibility going into that summer. And for Eric Bledsoe, he was able to get a few years of security in terms of his contract and not have to deal with going into free agency. And last year and this upcoming summer, it'll be an interesting market for all players involved. It's not a particularly strong class in 2020. Obviously, 2021 is the big class with Giannis as a potential free agent as well. So overall, I think both sides benefited from that extension, but there's no question. You know, the Bucks are hoping for their return to come to successful playoff runs.
So he got a fracture in the 9th and 10th, so he got two fractures and two ribs? Something like that? Or it's just one rib that's cracked?
Yeah, he's got a fracture, a small fracture in his rib area. And, you know, I've seen cartilage or rib.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah.
Basic point is he's got a fracture in that rib area, and he's going to miss up to 3 weeks and miss time going into the regular season.
Yeah, all he need to do is get some bologna and take the little red thing around and put it right on his skin. It heals it. I'm telling you real quick, it worked for me. But I think, I really hope he does.
That's what they used to do in locker rooms?
No, really, it does help.
But you never tried that?
Yeah, no, just try it one time.
Yeah, tape it on there.
I look at what the Packers went through with Davante Adams. He's out. Gary mentioned something about that. When Davante Adams out, it forced Aaron Rodgers to find other guys. Here's a chance for Bucks now to look at a legitimate backup, find out how you're going to run this offense without him. I'm not going to say it's a good thing he's out, because I don't like preseason anyway, to be honest with you. But with the NBA, I know these guys got to get in. So if they had to start the season and maybe he's out for a little bit longer, how do you think the rotation would look like?
You'd need to rely on George Hill as your starting point guard. Dante DiVincenzo, I'm told, has had a great training camp and had a really strong summer. And so you're going to thrust him potentially into that point guard role. You have Frank Mason on a two-way contract. He can potentially play the point guard position as well. So they have options. Giannis at all times is a potential option at point guard. He plays 1 through 5. So that'll always be at the Milwaukee Bucks' disposal, having Giannis be able to play the point at any point in time, any moment in time. So it's not like they're lost without options. George Hill actually probably had a better playoff run at times than even Bledsoe. So, you know, having a guy like him, they brought him back on a 3-year $29 million deal. That was a big-time re-signing for the Bucs, especially after they lost Malcolm Brogdon to the Pacers.
Follow him at Shams Charania on Twitter. NBA
How you say
Inside.
His last name?
Charania.
Is he married?
I do not know. You can ask him right now.
Oh, are you married?
Stadium, you can follow him there.
It's Charania.
Oh, you don't butcher the man name.
Butchered it there. There you go. That's Leroy Butler calling out everything. Shams, as you look
Shams,
at...
Okay, Shams.
Go ahead.
Hey, Shams. Is Billy leaving now? Or
no, he wanted to reset for you, but I messed it up.
No, sorry.
I messed it up.
You messed
it up? Yeah, because I wanted to help him get married with that last name, but you go ahead and ask, Jared. Go ahead.
Hey, Sean, so tell me about Matthews here. I mean, most folks want him in that starting lineup. Does he have a chance?
You know, I think when the Bucks signed him, the goal was to bring him off the bench, be their top reserve coming off the bench. I don't think that changes in the near future, but, you know, he's a veteran, a proven player. He's contended in multiple playoff runs, and I think it was a great signing for the minimum. To be able to get a guy like Wesley Matthews on the minimum, I thought was a big get for John Horst for the Bucks. But I think their starting rotation, just off of last year's success, is fairly set.
Let's talk about John Horst since you brought him up. When he was named general manager, a lot of people around here couldn't figure out how that all happened because his name wasn't even in the hopper at that point.
Good.
What was the reaction around the NBA when they named him as general manager? And now what's the reaction around the NBA now that they've seen him for a little bit?
Yeah, you know, John Horst had plenty of experience, working under John Hammond previously. And he's been around the league, you know. So people internally, you know, across the NBA knew who John Horst was. Obviously, publicly, you know, like you said, the reaction when it was first announced that they named him GM, I think there was questions publicly, but behind the scenes, around the league, people knew who he was. And so, and obviously he's, you know, the Bucks as a franchise, they've done a great job, Mark Lazary, Wes Edens. I think as a whole, they made great moves, and now it's about positioning yourself to become a finals contender year in and year out, to make the run in the conference finals last year, win. Are up 2-0 in the series, and you thought that they were running away with that and were off to the NBA Finals, but the Toronto Raptors come back and win the championship. So, you know, the Bucks are going to be right there in position again. It's, you know, in the Eastern Conference, is really a two-team race between them and Philadelphia. Maybe you could see a Boston and Indiana, depending on Victor Oladipo's health, creep up there as well. But it's really a two-team race right now in the East.
Shams, as you look into the impending free agency of what Giannis is going to need and the accounts and the fine that was laid against the Bucks ownership for at least mentioning the fact that they were going to offer Giannis the Supermax, and then he backs down and says, I'm not going to address it because that's not necessarily fair to what we're trying to accomplish here in this year. I'm not going to ask you what the likelihood of where destinations for him to go. Everybody's going to want Giannis once he becomes available. But for what you believe at this point, does it feel like the Bucks are going to have as good of a chance as other teams have had to try to keep their superstar here in Milwaukee?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it really all comes down to winning and whether the team, you know, in Giannis's belief, is progressing to the level that that he expects. And last year was a big time jump for the Bucks. Throughout Giannis's tenure in Milwaukee, they make a run in the conference finals. Now, what's that next step? Probably the NBA finals. And so to be able to go on this quest for the next 2 years before he reaches free agency, I think it'll be very important for this team to make another deep, deep run in the playoffs. And I think everyone around the Bucks organization understands that. They're all pushing and pulling in the same direction and trying to compete for a championship. And that's why, as Giannis said, it's not fair for anyone involved for him to be addressing something that could be 2 years out, when they have much bigger goals over the next two seasons.
Let's deal with this a little bit. Because yesterday, this got into kind of a frenzy how we disagree on things sometimes. Let's talk about Giannis. Have an open conversation in the barbershop. I really need you to help us with this. Now, if some people in here think, I'm not calling any names, and Giannis, they want to deal with this jumper thing. They want to shoot jumpers or whatever. I want him to dominate. They seem to think that the reason why that the Bucks didn't win because they put up this wall and did all this certain thing.
Who put up the wall?
Well, Toronto. They did all this wall stuff, so they did something different. I think they lost because of Van Vliet and them hitting threes outside. But if Giannis doesn't have a consistent jump shot, I don't care. I want him to do what like he's always dunk on people, mean mug people, score 40 points, do whatever in the paint. the most in the paint than anybody other than Shaq.
So you want a one-dimensional player.
I want him to be Giannis.
You want a one-dimensional player.
I want him to be Giannis, so, but he's good
ahead,
at.
Go ahead, Sean.
Listen, it does matter to be able to shoot the basketball, but clearly for Giannis, he won MVP, you know.
Right.
And if you look at his shooting throughout that series against the Raptors, he actually, you know, shot a little bit, and he was able to make some jumpers. So there's no question. His work ethic, how young he is, he's going to bring something to the arsenal, you know, whether it's now or next summer, whenever it is, he's going to be able to shoot the ball at some point in his career. He works too hard. And even if he doesn't, like the way he dominates on the floor, passing, rebounding, blocking shots defensively, the way he's able to dominate on the floor offensively, he won MVP, and he's probably going to be in the MVP race again, doing just exactly what he did a season ago. So, you know, I don't think it was Giannis's jumper that didn't allow the Bucks to win a champ or get to the finals last year. It was, like you guys said, the defensive schemes of Toronto. And also, you have to look at everyone around Giannis as well, his teammates, Chris Middleton, you know, guys that may struggle at certain points. It's making sure everyone's clicking on all cylinders at the appropriate time.
What do you make of what's going on with the NBA in China right now? I was reading some stuff that people are speculating around the league that the salary cap could be affected by this if this doesn't get resolved, and may start going the other direction because of the loss of revenue if this doesn't get fixed. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I think it's way too early to be thinking at what the revenue situation should be. You know, obviously you have to potentially game plan for that, and several teams are. You know, I'm not discounting that. I think teams around the league are definitely looking at it, especially how hot and heavy it was during the middle of the week and early in the week. Following the tweet that went out Friday night from Daryl Morey, the Rockets general manager. But, you know, it is too early. Until Tencent and these Chinese sponsors fully pull out of deals, not suspend deals, but fully pull out of contractual obligations, it's too hard to really speculate. Both teams from the U.S., the Lakers and Nets, they're both traveling to – they both traveled to Shenzhen yesterday, and they're going to – play their game on Saturday against each other in Shenzhen and then fly back home. So that game will go on as expected. It's unclear whether there's going to be any sponsors, any vendors. There weren't in their previous game on Thursday.
And no media. No media accessibility to these players.
No media access as well. And I think a lot of that also has to do with the security, you know, and making sure that everyone is safe in China. And, you know, you don't want to say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing.
You're still in a communist country, right?
Yeah. So
you don't want to say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing, and then it ends up biting you. So I think the NBA is just trying to be as safe as possible, make sure that these games go on as expected, and can then start to reevaluate what they need to do potentially when they get back.
Follow along. He's one of the best in the business. Shams Charania joining us here on the Wendy's Big Show. Shams, appreciate it, man, and we'll talk soon.
Guys, thank you. Appreciate it.
Insider for Stadium here on the Wendy's Big Show, joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. It's your chance for a $1,000 roster bonus here on the Fan. All you need is the keyword prize, PRIZE, prize.
Oh, I like that.
Text that to 72881, and the prize can be yours. Message and data rates do apply. Make sure to listen throughout 3 and 4 o'clock hours for the next chance in our national cash contest. Ben Fennell at Ben Fennell underscore NFL joins us next, talking about your Green Bay Packers and where he saw the film lead to a Packer victory. That comes up next, and your chance of free beer here on the Fan. Big Show on the Fan, 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, and the freeradio.com app, the only show in the state of Wisconsin with two former Packers, and we talk Packers football Fridays right around this time with Ben Fennell. At Ben Fennell underscore NFL is where you follow along with his film breakdowns. We like Ben Fennell. That's why Ben Fennell is back with us.
Best in the business.
Here on the Wendy's Big Show. Ben, appreciate the time as always, man.
Best in the business.
It's always a pleasure, guys, and I like you guys too. So feelings mutual.
There we go. That doesn't always happen with us here on the Wendy's Big Show. Well, LaRoyo.
Ben, I used some of your work in the past at the barbershop when they some people try to give me a little smoke. So I go to pick my phone up, and I go to your Twitter page, and I say, look at this. And you know what they do? Yeah, you're right. So I use you a lot to get people straight, you know?
Hey, and that's what it's all about here. People helping people here. I serve it up, you spike it down, and you get a lot of quiet guys on the other side of it.
That's what I'm talking about.
Is that like a volleyball term there, Ben? Is that a volleyball? Serve it up, you spike it down?
Oh, it might be.
Yeah, a little bit.
Probably could work.
Hey, Ben, we had a question. If you had to put your finger on one thing why they're 4-1, it could be multiple things, but if you had to pick one thing why you think the Packers are 4-1, what would it be?
Well, I think they're right back to having an opportunistic defense, and I thought last week was a snapshot of that with giving up 500-plus yards to the Dallas Cowboys offense, a really good group. But the second you got down into the red zone, you buckled down and you held them 1-3 in the red zone.
Nice.
You generated turnovers. You got after the quarterback on third down. In fact, Dak Prescott did not complete a pass on third down. Only two quarterbacks this season failed to complete a pass on third down.
See, now that's a nugget.
Against the Packers.
That's a nugget.
Yeah, so that's a pretty cool stat right there. And I think that's just that opportunistic defense. There's some really good offenses in the league, and the Dallas Cowboys are one of those. So you're going to give up some yards, but when the field gets small down in the red zone, can you hold it down and buckle down and hold teams to field goals and generate a turnover or two to flip the field? And I think that's what the Packers defense has done through five games in 2019.
I agree with you on that. I want to talk about the offensive side of the ball a little bit. Aaron Jones, because I preached all last year to get him more involved and use him more in game situations. And this is the second game where now they've actually used him, and I mainly because there was no Jamal Williams and Davante Adams. Talk about what you saw on film and how they used him and how they continue to do what they did against Dallas going forward.
Well, in order to really get the full picture of Aaron Jones, go back to how they used him at UTEP, because they saw they had a special dual-threat player. On third down, they motioned him to the slot. On fourth and goal against K-State, they put him in the slot. So he has some value in the pass game, even back to his college days. And he just needed a little bit of creativity with a Matt LaFleur offense and seeing how he used a Deion Lewis in Tennessee last year all around the offensive formation. And if you're not being creative in isolating your best offensive players, the best players with the ball in their hands, the best players in space, if you're not moving them around the formation and trying to isolate those matchups, you're not playing the chess match as far as calling offensive plays in 2019. I thought LaFleur did a great job, and there was no better example than on third down, they motioned him outside the numbers. You saw Jalen Smith follow him outside the numbers, signaling man-to-man coverage, and just ran him on a little quick slant underneath. Moved the sticks. It was a tough grab, but he made it. We know what he can do in the screen game. We've seen that enough. So I think this is just the really beginning of what he can add to this offense. And Matt LaFleur is going to keep adding and finding more and more creative ways to involve him. I remember last year on Monday night against Seattle Seahawks, he caught a ball down the field on a corner route. So he's flashed it before. It just really needs to be a focal staple of this offense in 2019 and moving forward.
You know, I also thought that, too, the Aaron Rodgers, it felt like to me, played a little bit more of a quarterback type of game and not really locking on to one particular guy.
Yeah, and I think this is the Aaron Rodgers that can play till he's 42, 43 years old, realizing he doesn't have to be the superhero anymore. He doesn't have to extend the play, hoping for defenses and coverages to break down and get that big play down the field. No, I think the best aspect of Aaron Rodgers is getting the ball out of your hands and into these playmakers, whether it's on the screen game or the quick game passing or those really quick second reaction throws where you need to make somebody miss in the pocket and get it out of your hands fast. I think as Aaron Rodgers is opening his eyes to, hey, we have some playmakers on this team. I don't have to do everything. Look how easy it is for me to throw a 3-yard pass to Aaron Jones and he's going to take it 30 yards on a screen pass. Offense doesn't have to be so hard. And when you looked around the league at these other running backs that came out with Aaron Jones in 2017, whether that's Christian McCaffrey or Tariq Cohen in Chicago or Alvin Kamara and how they're used in their offenses, man, yardage doesn't have to be so hard to acquire in the NFL. Let these dynamic playmakers do the work. And I think that's what Aaron Rodgers is realizing. In this type of offense, he could play till he's 40, 43 years old.
You follow along at BenFennel_NFL for his film breakdowns at the Green Bay Packers here on the Wendy's Big Show Fridays around this time. Ben, the offensive line, especially the two guard play, was significantly better down in Dallas.
Yeah, I think so. I think Elgton Jenkins, the game is really slowing down for him, and he's an impressive player. He played up and down the offensive line at Mississippi State, so he's a guy that's seen a lot of action as far as being in the trenches there, and he's just been a really strong player at left guard there. He's a really dominant run blocker. He gets good movement at the point of attack. He's still working on some things in his pass game and realizing just the timing of some twists and games and different pressure aspects. Let me tell you, defenses on third down are tough for offensive linemen because they do everything they can to attack your eyes, your discipline, different protection schemes. And I think he's done a pretty good job through 5 weeks, probably one of the more impressive rookie offensive linemen in the NFL. And Billy Turner, listen, he's a veteran. He had some issues in week one and week two, but he's starting to settle down just a little bit as well. He's definitely a better run blocker than pass protector. But having those two guards, it just makes the offensive line feel different in Green Bay. There's a little bit more physicality and brute strength at the point of attack, and I think we're seeing that in the run game and just an overall more physical presence.
You know, when we talk about this offense and how it's looked to this point, and you were hard on Jimmy Graham last year and how he looked in this offense last year. Thoughts on how Jimmy Graham versus, say, Mercedes Lewis versus, say, Robert Tonyan has looked this year?
Well, I think he's still the same guy. At this point in his career, he's not going to change a whole lot on us. He is what he is, but I think he's doing just what he needs to do in the pass game. I thought last year he wasn't making those contested catches in the red zone like we needed Jimmy Graham to, and obviously he's not that dominant inline blocker. So if he's not making those catches over smaller defenders in the red zone, he's really not doing his job as far as his presence in the offense. Turn to this year, and I think he's just catching the ball a little bit better, playing a little bit more confidently, blocking. I think LaFleur is putting him in some more advantageous situations blocking, giving him some better angle blocks and more opportunistic situations to get defenders on the ground. And he knows that target is on him and the spotlight is on him in the run game. So I'm seeing a little bit better effort out of him. It's still not his forte. He's going to be a 6'5", 6'6", tight end that struggles in getting his pads down and underneath defenders and in the run game. That's something Mercedes Lewis and even Bob Tonyan do much better. But he's impressed me in 2019, and I give him some credit because I have been pretty critical.
Ben, can you repeat your whole set? Because I was trying to charge my phone. I missed everything.
I had no
said.
Idea
can
what
you...
this guy was doing. Sorry.
But I do have a question.
You can repeat it. You can listen to it on radio.com app, Fan On Demand.
I follow him on Twitter like most people should. What's his Twitter handle? Give his Twitter
@ BenFennel_NFL.
Yeah. Ben, now, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give Jaire Alexander a reprieve. Because what Amari Cooper did, I don't want people to think that's how he kind of player he was. He's going to be playing Marvin Jones Jr., and Kevin King's going to be on Kenny Galladay. In this Detroit offense, it's a little bit different because Daryl Bevel is the offensive coordinator. He's a little bit different from in the past than the Jim Bob Cooters of the world. Have you seen enough tape on these guys to see the difference, how they'll use their receivers? Because I'm not sure if T.J. Hockenson is available as well.
Yeah, T.J. Hockenson is a little bit banged up, but just to take your previous thought, I would implore anybody to go watch that Cowboys offense tape against the Packers defense and just sit back and watch the show that Amari Cooper and Jaire Alexander put on. I think that's two Pro Bowl caliber players, if not all pro caliber, and they each took their lumps and they each made some plays. And it was just a very impressive game on both sides of the ball. Amari Cooper's a great receiver, a great route runner, a variety of releases and stems and getting in out of his break, and he stays active when Dak breaks the pocket. So that didn't mean that Jaire Alexander didn't get his, and he had some great breakups and some great coverage down the field. So that's just what happens when you get two Pro Bowl players. Each guy is going to get theirs, and it's not a knock on either of them, and it's not a praise on either of them. Just to say, watch the tape and enjoy two players battling.
Absolutely.
But as far as the Detroit Lions offense, you said it. Daryl Bevel coming in from the Seattle days. They brought in Jesse James in free agency. They drafted T.J. Hockenson in the draft with the 8th overall pick. It was a clear intent to get heavier and more physical
as far as an offense and more multi-tight end set and pounding the ball with Kerryon Johnson, who's a really physical back. So they're really trying to establish the run game just like the Packers are and taking some pressure off of Aaron Rodgers. They want some pressure off of Matthew Stafford. So whether that's adding multiple tight ends, committing to a run game on first down, working in some play action elements. So I think in order for the Packers to be successful, you need to make the Lions one-dimensional. Stop the run on early downs, make them a one-dimensional passing team, mm-hmm. and then you can get after the passer, get after their, in my opinion, average offensive line, and then get after Matt Stafford. But the second you can't tackle Kerryon Johnson, then they work in the play action, then they get you into a heavier defense, yeah. and then they take shots down the field. So I think first and foremost, like most weeks, you have to stop the run on early downs.
Ben, appreciate it, man. We'll talk next week, hopefully, about the 5-1 Green Bay Packers and a film breakdown getting ready for the Oakland Raiders, who come into town. Did you a little bit of help in the NFC North last week. Appreciate it, Ben. We'll talk soon.
Always a pleasure, guys.
At Ben Fennell _ NFL is where you find him. You follow him on Twitter there, and we hear him here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
I like that part in Steve's haircut. I like that part. I like that. Is that new?
Yeah.
Did your girl recommend that?
That was important.
No, that was the person cutting my hair. Mari did that. Yeah. Thank you. How much?
How much, though?
I was like $15.
Oh, yeah, I can afford that. Yeah.
Go ahead and finish what you're
saying. He said jealous, but he think he don't know I got nice hair.
Go ahead and finish what you're saying.
It is important. He got a nice haircut. No, what? That's my colleague.
Billy's doing important. Billy, go ahead and finish.
I was going to tell everybody that there's free beer, but.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, my bad.
I mean, that is rather important.
My bad.
It's fine. There's free beer at Total Wine and More. It's Beaufort and beer, and it's free from 3 to 6. Yeah, that's when you know it's important. We're stepping up to the desk. We're talking now. Free beer Friday, 3 to 6 at Total Wine and More in Brookfield and in Greenfield. You can test the entire lineup of Beauforting beer, the crisp pilsner, the smooth triple ale, and the perfectly balanced brune, and get to hear what and experience what we've been talking about here on the station for months now. The crisp, clean finish you get with all three of the craft beers from Beauforting. It's 100% natural, imported from Luxembourg by a local company, and we're all drinking in the Boff this football season with a beer made with three all-natural ingredients, the fresh spring water, finest barley, and the choicest hops. No additives, no artificial flavors, just beer made the way it was meant to be made. Go test it out and go all-natural with Beauforting beer on a free beer Friday at Total Wine and More in Brookfield and in Greenfield.
I just want to clarify something. So we had Shams on earlier to talk about the thing. John Horst has come out and said that he did not fracture his ribs.
Fractured the cartilage.
So
it's in between.
You know me. I went and I looked it up to see. Really, I've never heard of fractured rib cartilage before.
Yeah,
so
your lower ribs are actually less bone and actually more of just, the cartilage that brings it in between. Together.
Yeah. So people who are all involved in sports like tennis or volleyball are at risk for rib cartilage. Mm-hmm. Also, people involved in weightlifting are more prone to get rib cartilage injury. People not wearing a seatbelt in a car accident, chronic smoking, or old people. Mm-hmm. Those are the people prone to get such things.
Old people get that.
I've never heard of it before.
Older people and big-time tennis players, that sounds like a Tim Allen injury.
Wrestlers get it, too.
Could be, yeah, right there.
And like a lot of good tar players get it.
So you've heard of fractured rib cartilage before?
Yeah, it's all the same.
Yeah, for sure.
It's all the same.
Yeah. It's all the same all down there in the bottom part. Like if you're up here and you fracture a rib, that's bulging into your lung
By your armpit, you're saying.
Yeah, that's tougher and more into like your pec area. But
right.
A little lower. You'll be all right.
Yeah. All right. Tough to sneeze or cough, but you'll be all right.
Mm-hmm. Like Brett Favre's dad said when he got into the car accident, you know, 2 or 3 days, I think he'll be fine.
And that was intestinal.
2 or 3 days, I think he'll be fine. Yeah, you know, who cares? Mike Clemens is always good. We'll hear from Mike Clemens, and we're back. Wendy's Big Show on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.